Good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us on Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Susmat on AZ Central Sports. Good to partner with the Arizona Republic on White Mountain Radio. Good to be with them as well. And of course, on Twitter at Brad Susmat and at Sports360AZ. That is our Twitter handles at Sports360AZ. Our website, Sports360AZ.com, loaded up with content, college, pro, high school, things that we see around the state of Arizona. We're very Arizona-centric. On this show, I tend to go a lot of national stuff, things that I see on a national level, national guests, and things along those lines, and a little bit of an Arizona slant as well. Pedro Gomez will join us in about 20 minutes. Pedro with ESPN, Valley resident. Every week, ESPN's Pedro Gomez is with us. Last night, I was watching Pedro after the home run hitting contest. Pedro Gomez is multi-talented. Here's a little bit of Pedro from last night, just to give you what we're dealing with here on this show.
What was the key to the success tonight in the home run derby? ¿Cuál fue el clave cuando tú supiste que tenías oportunidad para ganar este torneo?
Bueno, después del primer round te dije que me sentía bastante, iba a buscar buenos contactos, no querer darle muy duro a la pelota porque entonces no me iban a salir. Y para mí esa fue la llave.
He said that during the first round he felt that he was getting into a very good rhythm and that as long as the ball was right over the plate, he felt like he was in a good groove and he felt that that was the key.
Now, if we're in this position, right, where we're asking a question in English, and then we're asking it in another language, and then we're getting the response in that other language, and then we're responding with the response in the other language, there's not a chance.
No.
Like, not a chance.
I'll ask you a question in English.
Huh?
By the time I'm done asking it, you'll already forget what I ask you. And to be honest with you, I'll probably forget what I ask you.
When Pedro was doing the interview last night, I was just blown away.
It was like jaw dropped open. Because he does it every year because they're with all the Dominican players and the Cuban players. I mean, Pedro is the perfect bridge, I don't know, social bridge between your English audience and your Dominican and Cuban players.
It doesn't. I would like Tanaka to be in the home run hitting contest and Pedro to go interview Tanaka afterwards. I'm wondering if he can do that. You know?
Are there any French Major League Baseball players?
Sure. You know, I mean, is there a Mandarin Chinese player coming along? I don't know. But Pedro just crushed it last night nationally. And today he's getting love all over the place, like Sports Illustrated and others. And so, you know, Pedro's going to be on with us here in a little bit. Michael Dela Russo, Coach Dela Russo, AZ United SC. Every week we talk about what's going on the soccer front. That'll be an hour number two for a couple of minutes. I think my buddy Mark Roden is going to check in with Subway. He's back at the All-Star Game, too. He's putting some stuff up last night on his Facebook. They're serving a Bloody Mary that has a hamburger in it at Target Field. And it's got like a big chunk of bacon in it as well. I mean, they've got like all this weird food stuff. And I just kind of want to get a feel from a fan's perspective of what the All-Star Game is like. Today is All-Star Game Day in our country. This is usually one of those days we celebrate the middle of summer, baseball. The SEC media days are going on, taking away a little bit. What's going on in the NBA with Summer League taken away a little bit. But today really is all about the All-Star Game. So very much looking forward to talking about that here over the next couple of hours. Sports360AZ.com. Let's get you caught up some things on my mind in the world of sports. Brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. They've been a part of Sports360AZ day after day for almost 3 years now. We've been at it. Appreciate their partnership with us. Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top. The great place to stay when you're in the White Mountains. Get away from it all. 7,000 feet. Pull down the slots. There's the monsoons that are going on. Beat the heat. Win some big bucks. Eat some food. Have some fun. Great food, too. That's all at the Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. The Honda Resort and Casino. So I noticed that the All-Star Game odds and prop bets are out. Prop bets are out for the All-Star Game. Of course they are. Hey, honey, I'm going to go to the casino, and I'm going to drop a cool $1,000 on whether or not, let me see here, what's the best one? Whether or not Troy Tulowitzki will drive in more runs tonight than Robinson Cano, because that's on the board in Vegas. I don't have a gambling problem, but it's out there. I'm going to be the guy that will come up with, I'll put money on Andrew McCutchen, because it's even money on Andrew McCutchen to get more hits tonight than Mike Trout. That's on the board in Vegas tonight. Of course it is. Will either team hit a triple? Of course I'm going to put money on that tonight. Why not? Would it make watching the All-Star game that much more fun? No, we don't have a country full of people. I'm going to cross the line here, man. Full of people that are caught up in the gambling thing. Who's going to get more hits and drive in more runs? Will it be Adam Jones or Chase Utley? That's on the board tonight. Well, I've got Adam Jones because it's even. I'm going to win.
How do you even predict something like that?
I'm not a degenerate with my money.
Football would seem a little bit easier with prop bets.
I'm going to look at the board, Eric, and I'm going to see Adam Jones even, and I've got a cool hundy that I'm going to throw down on it because it just makes the most sense in the world. That's the betting side of it. You know, for Goldschmidt, this is a big moment for a Diamondback. We have not had a Diamondback start in the All-Star game since, I think, Gonzo. It's been a long, long time. And Goldschmidt's going to hit cleanup tonight on the big stage. And Goldschmidt doesn't like anybody talking to him about him. It's not that he doesn't appreciate media. It's just that's not his deal. He doesn't make a big thing out of it. So on this stage, we're going to see Paul Goldschmidt. And he was asked, what part of the All-Star experience are you looking forward to the most?
My favorite thing last year and hopefully again this year was kind of just hanging out with some of the guys from other teams, guys that you're competing against, whether it's pitchers or hitters, and getting to talk baseball, non-baseball stuff, hanging out in the dugout, in the locker room, on the bus, different things like that, getting to meet guys, see their personalities, some of the best players in the world here and getting to play alongside of them.
It's pretty straightforward, and looking forward to that tonight. And again, Miguel Montero's on the All-Star roster as well. So that's the local side of it, is Goldschmidt being out there. Yoenis Cespedes last night put on a show, but I didn't watch much of it. I've gotten to the point with a home run hitting contest, and Bud Selig alluded to it today, that the home run hitting contest is made for television. Television wants, as Bud Selig said today, a three-hour show. 3 hours, it's got to be. So to take 3 hours, and then let's not forget there was a one-hour rain delay too, for good measure. 4 hours of my night to see who can hit home runs over and over and over. It's not happening. There was a time, and I'm going to talk to Pedro about this, where the home run hitting contest had the big bats, and all those guys were juiced up, and at the time we didn't care. We just didn't care. Now we see guys that run out of gas as this thing goes on, and they'll end up hitting zero when they get into the third and fourth rounds of this thing. I don't know. It's one of those events that I'm sure that demographically that a millennial loves watching the home run hitting contest, and that's fine. Me, I look at 4 hours and say, or 3 hours, I don't need to sit for 3 hours on beer and wings to watch home runs fly out of a yard. There's other things to do. So guess what Bud Selig said today? Bud Selig, in his State of the Union address today at Major League Baseball, said, we need to speed up games. Of course he said that. This is after asked earlier in the day about, well, we need to provide a three-hour show for a network versus, well, our games are going on a little too long. The beauty of baseball is that there is not a stopwatch on it. I've always felt that there's not somebody sitting there saying it's going to start at this time and finish at this time. Unfortunately, as years have gone by, more and more people need to know when it starts and when it finishes. It's amazing. I will have people that will ask me, I'm a big sports fan, Brad, what time does the baseball game finish? You've got to be kidding me. You're not the biggest baseball fan then if you don't know there's not a clock on this deal. I heard during the World Cup, it's great that the World Cup, you know the game starts, you know when it finishes, unless it goes into extra time and penalty kicks, but by and large, you're looking at about a 45-minute half start to finish and the follow-up to it. But Bud Selig comes out today and says games need to be shortened up. Well, how do you do that? The other day, Baltimore played Boston. And then the seventh inning of the Baltimore-Boston game, it was an hour and 13 minutes for one inning. An hour and 13 minutes over the weekend. So tonight, you know, on the All-Star game, this is all about Derek Jeter. This is the Derek Jeter All-Star game. It's fine. Here's Derek Jeter. What aspect of your career are you most proud of?
The thing that I've prided myself on in my career is consistency.
Right.
You know, I feel as though I have a job to do each and every day, every year. And I take a lot of pride in being consistent. I want the organization to pretty much know what to expect when I take the field.
He's done everything the right way. If there's anybody that hates on Derek Jeter, then I don't get it. Even a Red Sox fan would have to say there's been this thing on social media in the last few weeks that Derek Jeter will play his final regular season game at Yankee Stadium. The Yankees finish the year at Boston for 3 games. And there's a movement afoot that Jeter shouldn't go play those 3 games in Boston, which, of course, is people drinking and drinking a lot and probably nipping on the cooking sherry more than they should. To think that Derek Jeter would say, well, you know, I'm just not going to go to Boston. I'm not going to finish my career in Boston. I mean, come on. Are you hearing yourselves? As much of a love fest as the Cal Ripken Jr. All-Star game was, tonight will be the same way. It's got to be about, it's going to go something like this. He's leading off the game against Wainwright. Wainwright's never pitched to Jeter. Jeter's never hit against Wainwright. I think that's kind of cool. So the audience is going to be there. Around the third or fourth inning, is it going to be Jeter running out to his position and all of his teammates stay behind so they give him the standing ovation? Is it Jeter goes out to his position and then they send out somebody to replace him and he runs off the field? Is it going to be something where a great player from the past runs out onto the field like Cal Ripken Jr.? I've heard from some people on the ground, I'm going to ask Pedro about this, that there's all sorts of ways that they're trying to figure out how to honor Jeter tonight. I don't know Derek Jeter at all. I've interviewed him a few times on the Diamondbacks from the World Series. I'm thinking that all this stuff on how to figure out how to honor him is pretty uncomfortable. Pedro will have a much better feel of it. Obviously, you need to do something. I'd kind of like to see him run out onto the field, have a helicopter land, pick him up, leave, and he never plays another game. We never see him again. How's that? If you're going to try to find something really creative and unique, in all seriousness, this will be all about Derek Jeter tonight. In the show today, Eric Bledsoe, a picture on Twitter of him having dinner with Eric Spoelstra and Pat Riley. The SEC Media Day, Steve Spurrier actually loves on Nick Saban. What's that all about? And Eric and I sat in Todd Graham's office yesterday for 2 hours. Were we in trouble? We'll fill you in on that as well. Up next, we go to Minnesota. Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball analyst. He joins me every week here on Sports 360 AZ. Talk to him about the All-Star Game, Derek Jeter, and much more. I'm Brad Sussmat.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/Sports360AZ.
I say y'all having a good time out there.
It's time to talk Arizona Diamondbacks and Major League Baseball with ESPN insider Pedro Gomez. Here's Brad Sussmat.
What was the key to the success tonight in the Home Run Derby? ¿Cuál fue el clave cuando tú supiste que tenías oportunidad para ganar este torneo?
You know, you're just too damn talented. I'm sitting there watching this last night, and the pressure of the world is on you. It's the lens is on you, and here you are with Cespedes, and you're doing your thing as you always do. And then Richard Deitch from Sports Illustrated just loves and slurps all over you today about how talented you are. And I don't know. I mean, do you realize when you're in the moment, Pedro, that's something that most everybody in the rest of the world can't do?
You know, Brad, it's not easy because you do have to really, really focus on what he is saying so that I can then paraphrase and give you, you know, the closest translation. But no, I'm not really thinking like how difficult it is at the moment. I'm just trying to kind of open up my hard drive and say, let's remember this, and this that he said, because sometimes the answers are long and you want to give him a fair shake of what he said. But
sure.
I'm not sitting there saying, oh, this is hard. I'm just, you know, it's just something I've done my entire life, basically, growing up in a house where Spanish was dominant and then living in a country where English was dominant. And it's not something that those of us who grew up in Miami from Cuban families or any other Latin family that grows up here thinks about, oh, I'm doing this and this. It's just like if you and I are speaking right now, it's really no different. It's just the way that we were raised here in this country.
Yeah, but I forget what you said like 2 seconds ago. That's the thing. So how many languages can you speak?
Oh, just two. I grew up, my parents came from Cuba. They did not speak any English, and I was born just 3 weeks after they arrived. So Spanish was the only language that was dominant at home. Now, they eventually learned English, but sure, it is not their dominant language. But growing up in the U.S., of course, English is the dominant language. So it really was like if I had 1 foot in Cuba and 1 foot in the U.S., and you're just balancing that out at home and in the real world.
Yeah, but if Ichiro wins a home run hitting contest, you're screwed.
Oh, I got no chance.
Yeah, you're done.
No chance.
How different is the home run derby from your perspective when you first started covering it to where it is now? I know Bud Selig said today he was asked about the length of games, and he said we have to have a 3-hour window for television. I'm sure from your vantage point, the home run derby has to be vastly different than when you first started covering it.
It is. I remember my first one. It was 1992. It was at Camden Yards, and McGuire had a spectacular show, and Griffey had a tremendous show, and the big, big guys all participated in it. And now you really have to kind of twist some arms to get guys to do it. But it's funny because last night I was talking to Jose Bautista, to Josh Donaldson, to Yoenis Cespedes, and I said, well, when it's over, how different is it and how difficult is it to get your regular swing back? And they all said, zero. You have your swing back right away. Anybody who says that is absolutely incorrect. But in terms of the excitement, I remember that day at Camden Yards, and my God, everybody was running around. Now, granted, Camden Yards was brand new. It had just opened, so there was a lot of excitement centered on that as well, but it just seemed like it was a bigger event, and I'm not sure if just time has kind of watered down the home run derby, but it still can be big. It's kind of like the slam dunk contest,
sure,
in the NBA at
sure,
the All-Star game, where at one time I remember it was Michael Jordan, Dominique Wilkins. You know, you had all the great players wanting to do it, and now you've really got to twist some arms to get anybody to do it, and they're not the bigger names, and that's unfortunate.
Pedro Gomez joins us from Minnesota tonight, the All-Star Game. Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball analyst, with Brad Sesmat, Sports 360 AZ, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and of course on Twitter over at Brad Sesmat. The whole narrative that this is the Derek Jeter All-Star Game, it seems to me that there's only one or two ways that this can go, that he runs out onto the field, his teammates stay behind, he runs out on the field with all of his teammates. They bring him off the field. I'd kind of like to see Cal Ripken Jr. run out on the field to replace him, and then Ozzie Smith replace him. I don't know. What are you expecting tonight with Derek Jeter and the send-off on the field?
Well, if something like that happens, it will absolutely have to come from everyone else, because Derek Jeter is the last person that would say, hey, why don't we do something like this?
Mm-hmm.
That is not in his DNA, and it's not his MO at all. I suspect that it will be something along the lines of when he steps up in the bottom of the first, Adam Wainwright, the National League starter, will just step off the mound and let the crowd take over. And I suspect that everybody on both benches will stand at the very top step or in front of the dugout and just kind of take their hat off and tip it toward him. I think it'll be a very emotional scene, and I think it'll be something that is probably less, it'll be spontaneous in the sense that it's not going to be choreographed. And I think that's how Derek Jeter's career has always been. It's just been a spontaneous career, not anything choreographed. And I suspect that it'll be more along those lines.
Are you going to get choked up tonight?
I won't get choked up, but I, you know, I've been a fan of Derek Jeter since he first started playing.
Sure.
I respect the way he plays. I respect how he basically, it's never been a look at me type career. It has always been about the New York Yankees first, second, and third, and then whatever he's been able to accomplish to help that legacy. And at the end of 20 years, he's going to have 5 World Series rings. I think it's about 17 postseason appearances, 14 All-Star games. And it's really been a tribute to, I'm putting the team first, and I'm not worrying about my statistics. If I have to hit a runner over to third base and ground out to second, I'll do it. I don't care. We need that run to score so that we can win a game. And it just goes to show how the statistics, if you don't worry about them, they will come. And Brad, when you think about it, I mean, at the end of this season, he is on schedule to finish with the 6th most number of hits in baseball. Hmm. Derek Jeter is not a player that when you think of, when you saw him during the last 20 years, you say, that guy is a tremendous hitter. He's not in the Tony Gwynn, Rod Carew, George Brett category, but yet he's going to end up with more hits than all of those guys. And it just goes to show that when you don't worry about stats and you worry about winning first, the other stuff will come.
Yeah. And well, I guess I'm looking at it from this perspective with him too, that he's done everything the right way. And we're in a day and age where guys do things wrong. And in the social media age that we're in now, that gets pointed out in a hurry. But guys that do it right doesn't really get a whole lot of attention, doesn't get a whole lot of buzz. And he's basically done everything right. And my question to you about getting choked up, I heard Joe Buck earlier this week say that there's moments where he gets choked up in baseball when Ripken was in his moment. And I know you're a reporter, but you've seen some really cool things, and you've covered Derek Jeter on a national stage probably as close as a lot of people. And I don't know if you ever take the step back to say, well, I'm pretty fortunate to have covered this guy, or would even be willing to admit that in your position.
Absolutely. I do. I do. And there's certain players that I do say, wow, I'm getting to watch one of the greatest ever to do something. And I've gotten to see quite a bit of what he has done. I mean, I've been at every single one of Derek Jeter's World Series championships. Mm. As a reporter, I have gotten to see a lot of his October baseball. I've gotten to see a lot of his regular season baseball. And it is something that I do make sure that I make myself say and appreciate what I'm seeing. I did it with Tony Gwynn. I've done it with a lot of players, even somebody like an Omar Vizquel, who I recognize as one of the great defensive players in the history of the game. I always want to take that step back and remind myself, this is one of the all-time greats. This is like when people talk about, oh, I got to watch Lou Gehrig or a Babe Ruth or a Hank Aaron or a Willie Mays in their primes. This is on par with that, and I do have to kind of remind myself that Jeter is one of the all-time greats, and I'm very, very fortunate to have seen quite a bit of what he has done over the course of his career. I absolutely do recognize that.
Yeah, no. Before I let you go, so why Wainwright, not Clayton Kershaw, really?
The reason, Mike Matheny is the manager and not Don Mattingly. If Don Mattingly was the manager, yes, Kershaw. And pretty much, if almost anybody was, but let's say Wainwright, it's not like he's had a horrible first half. He's got an ERA under 2.
Sure.
And you know, I mean, he is a great player, a great pitcher. And you know what? If he continues this a couple more seasons, we're talking about a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Adam Wainwright will probably have a Hall of Fame career.
But he didn't have a scoreless inning streak. Come on.
I know. And he's not with the Dodgers, but you know what? The Cardinals were in the World Series last year, part of what you get to do is you get to select the starting pitcher, and that's the reward. You know, if Mattingly was in the World Series last year, absolutely Kershaw. And I would argue that if almost anybody else in the National League was managing this game, it probably would be Kershaw. However, that is the reward for being in the World Series, and sure, Matheny is exercising his right.
Okay, last one. Goldschmidt, how is he handling, because he doesn't handle any attention well to begin with. I don't mean that badly. It's just, you know.
I know what I mean.
I mean, how's he handling this? He's hitting cleanup for the National League in the All-Star game tonight. He's big, bad Paul Goldschmidt. You know, Miguel's back there too. But how's Goldschmidt handling all this, do you think?
You know, I'm old enough to talk to people who saw Al Kaline in their prime.
Mm.
Paul Goldschmidt is Al Kaline. He is somebody that if you drop in and watch one game, you step away and you say, you know, good player, okay. But to truly appreciate what Al Kaline did, the consistency, the level of high play and consistency that he demonstrated, you have to look at the entire body of work. And at the end, you're amazed at what Al Kaline did. That is Paul Goldschmidt in a nutshell, because he is not a tremendous, fiery, superstar type player where you look and you drop in and go, wow, I'm watching Mickey Mantle tonight.
Right.
No, you're watching somebody who every single night plays at an extremely high level and is remarkably consistent. And let's not forget, Al Kaline, first ballot Hall of Fame. So Paul Goldschmidt is that type of player. He's a very quiet superstar. And he's not somebody who dazzles in a one-game scenario, but when you watch him over the course of 162 games, you are left in awe of just the tremendous level he plays at on a consistent basis. And that's the type of thing where other all-stars are all in awe of the way he plays and the way he leads himself on and off the field, and how he's just not a look-at-me player, but you want him on your team, and you know you're going to get high level of play every single at-bat, every single pitch, every single defensive play. It doesn't matter what it is. And that's a high honor that Goldschmidt has.
Stay well. Safe travels. Enjoy Minnesota tonight in the Jeter Fest. Thanks.
All right, Brad.
There's Pedro Gomez every week here on the show. Every Tuesday, Pedro Gomez, ESPN Baseball Insider from the All-Star Game, right in the middle of all of it. Pedro Gomez. On the other side, I've got some stuff from Steve Spurrier today. Anytime Steve Spurrier talks, I find it interesting at the media days at the SEC. Also, Eric and I sat in Todd Graham's office yesterday for 2 hours. What was that all about? We're going to go back to Minnesota. Mark Roden, good buddy, good friend of the show with Subway. He's back there. He's got access. He's in the ballpark. I just want to get from a fan's perspective how it's going. We're also going to talk about Eric Bledsoe and his dinner with Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra. That even happened. It's out on social media. And Michael Delarusso in hour number 2, AZ United SC. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center available 24/7, 365 at sports360az.com.
Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. SEC Media Day is today. More on that in a minute. Steve Spurrier just slobbering all over Nick Saban. Next week, we'll be out in Los Angeles for a couple of days of shows at the Pac-12 Football Media Days in Burbank. It'll be a lot of fun out there. Yesterday, in preparation for that, Eric and I went over to Todd Graham's office. So we sat in the office with the head football coach at Arizona State.
Nice place, by the way.
It's not bad. A little bit bigger than my house.
Correct. His wood flooring costs more than my tile flooring. Let me just put it to you that way.
That's it. And it was one of these things where we just sat around and talked about a whole bunch of things. Some of it, most of it was just conversation and chatting. Jude LaCava came by. Bruce Cooper came by as well. So there's the four of us and Coach Graham there. And as we're talking, coaches are bopping in and out. It's the middle of summer, so you have kids that are showing up on campus that are just walking through campus unexpectedly and things along those lines. But man, Todd Graham was so hospitable, just went on and on and out of his way to take care of us yesterday.
Great Jimmy John's, all the bottled water we could drink. Nice little lunch.
He, to say that he's a little fired up to get the season started, I mean, look, we're just sitting in there shooting the breeze, having some fun. It's not any heavy lifting. It's not about what about this kid or what about this kid. But it's more about where the program is.
Big picture stuff.
And where it's heading.
Yep.
Wanting to get some feedback from us on some things, wanting to get some insight on some things. And it was really a nice time. I didn't feel like that he was even rushing us out the door.
No, I don't think so. And I thought one of the most interesting parts was when we sat down to eat, he has like a desk and then he has like this big circular table that overlooks Sun Devil Stadium. We were at the table. And you just the different sort of things, Brad, he had on that table. He had a Bible. He had a bunch of completely detail-oriented, like, scripted plays and his, like, to-do lists. Like, I'd love to know. I'd love to follow Todd Graham from the time that guy gets up in the morning at 3 in the morning until whenever he goes to bed, probably 11:30, midnight. He gets more done in one day, even in the dead of the off season, than we probably get done in a full week.
In a full month. So
maybe not a month.
You probably could follow him around. I'm sure after yesterday's conversation.
Yeah, you know, and of course he had his traditional Diet Dr. Pepper.
But here's the thing on that. Okay, so let me just ask you from this perspective, because I actually called you about this yesterday afternoon. If you're a recruit that comes into a coach's office and you have your mom and your dad there, you have to learn everything about that coach in a short period of time. Okay. So a Bible open at his table, Todd has said that he's a religious man. Okay. That's fine. It was open to James. Not that I noticed or anything, but it was sitting there right in front of me. It's a wisdom book. It's fine. On his desk, Jude brought up that he'd received an email from a former player of Todd's that had a very tragic story aligned to it. And Todd walked right over there and picked up the tragic part of that story. It was sitting out. What does that tell me? It tells me that he knows where he came from because he has a lot of things that are around his office. That's not something you can script.
And that's a great point you make. You could walk into Todd Graham's office and learn about Todd Graham without him saying one word.
Sure. Sure. I mean, he's a Cowboy fan. We all have our hangups. That's fine. It's fine. They haven't won anything last time I checked. I didn't want to ruin the lunch and point out that, man, you like that. That team blows. But his grandfather took him to Cowboys. I could have said, as we were sitting there talking, hey, can you talk about the construction of Allen Stadium? That probably would not have been a good conversation piece for Todd Graham.
Yeah, probably not.
It's the high school stadium that he built, right?
Correct. That now has structural problems in
outside of Dallas.
It holds like 40,000 people.
Yeah. So. But the point of it is we're sitting there for 2 hours talking about the vision and the direction of the program. And, you know, Camp Tonizona is brought up a little bit, but it was really about Sun Devil Stadium and where that is going. And the cool thing for me is I'm sitting there with guys that I respect, guys that have a lot of time in this market. Yeah, they're old. Guys that, just like myself.
Well, you don't respect me, but I do have a lot of time in the market.
No,
so
I
check out one.
I asked you to go. What are you talking about?
I was
talking
about. I made the short list.
I could have said, you know, I'm too busy. You don't need to be here.
Right.
So. No, but the vision, if you're a fan of Arizona State football, Dennis Erickson, when he was here, was very nice and very accommodating and, in my opinion, very checked out. Most anybody that I talk to that is willing to be upfront will admit that he wasn't as into the job as he needed to be. He was at a stage of his career where it was more of a caretaker thing.
Except when it came to recruiting, because Erickson was a great recruiter, and let's be honest, Todd Graham has benefited from some of Erickson's.
He brought
recruits.
It up yesterday with Taylor Kelly.
Yep.
When Dirk Cutter was here, Dirk did not like at all any of the aspects of fundraising. Hated
or media. He didn't like the media really.
Hated
either.
Media. I mean, and he and I were fine because I think it's funny when guys say, "Well, I don't read papers and I don't like the media." I think that's funny. Because you just know that they do, or they have people that tell them. Anybody who tries to use that line, oh, I don't pay attention. Right. Okay. Sure. Just bury yourself then, because you're better off that way. And even the last couple of years of Bruce Snyder, Lord rest his soul. Bruce was a friend. Bruce and I had a falling out, and then we repaired it, and it was very emotional when he passed away. But his last few years weren't the best years at Arizona State. Okay. So really what you're looking at is the Rose Bowl time of Jake all through those years where the program just kind of left there. the numbers of play times I was invited to, we're going to upgrade the facilities, we're going to change this, we're going to change that. How are you going to do this? I don't know, but we're going to do it. I can't tell you how many times we've had those. I'm sitting there yesterday in his office, and the north end zone is now partially torn away.
Progress.
You know, this isn't just throwing on some paint and putting up a jumbotron and saying, ta-da, look at us. We got it all figured out.
The one thing he said, Brad, that I thought was interesting is he said, you know, if we want to be big time, we have to act like we are big time.
Right.
When he walked into his office his first day, the office was half the size that it is now. It was white walls. It was bland. It was boring. So what does Todd Graham do? Todd Graham knocks down a wall. Todd Graham puts in really nice furniture. Todd Graham decorates it, puts in a 95-inch, you know, flat-screen TV.
Right.
He just does it the Todd Graham way, for lack of a better term.
Well, and there are those that think that he'll leave. Yeah, you know what? But he already has the program in better shape today, much better shape today, than it was when he first got here. You know, Steve Patterson and Todd Graham, did they always see eye to eye? I don't know. I don't think so. Do Todd Graham and Ray Anderson see eye to eye? Here in the early going, it certainly seems as though, because things have catapulted at a light speed over there in the right direction. And, you know, I talk to these big cigar alums about the numbers of dollars they're donating. There's a lot of money that's flowing into Arizona State now. There's a lot of money. They can cry poor all they want. I know better than that. There's some big cigars, and it's not the same five big cigars that always get hit up for stuff. It's just really interesting. You know, in terms of the SEC, so Steve Spurrier calls Nick Saban a recruiter for the ages. Where's this coming from? This was Steve Spurrier earlier today on the team to beat in the SEC.
They're the favorites. There's no question about that. And as long as they can recruit like that, they're always going to be the favorites. I guess, fortunately, sometimes the team that plays the best is the team that wins instead of maybe who's all got the best players.
And that's about Alabama and Texas A&M and those teams there. Here is the question to Steve Spurrier. Somebody still is on Steve Spurrier about replacing Jadeveon Clowney at South Carolina, because that is a big part of what's going on with South Carolina this year.
Well, the other team won't have to change their offense when they play us. They'll just say treat those defensive ends like everybody else. So that'll probably be helpful for them. But again, we've got some young guys that are ready to play. So they've got to step forward and prove their SEC caliber defensive ends. So Darius English is a young man.
SEC caliber defensive ends. He also said that in June he questioned whether Alabama had maxed out, quote, maxed out its potential with only two SEC titles in 8 years. Today at Media Day, Spurrier said they do it the right way. Nick runs a good program. It's just amazing how they've been able to stack and keep loading up on players each year. So, you know, he downplayed it a little bit this year. Spurrier acknowledged a few other teams in the SEC other than Alabama recruited well themselves. He singled out LSU and Texas A&M. This is the big thing in the South. I would imagine the television ratings tonight for the All-Star game will be pedestrian in the South, but all this stuff around SEC Media Day that I'm seeing all day will be just ginormous.
Should they just call it SEC Media Week? It was yesterday. It's today.
Media Month.
I'm sure it's going on tomorrow.
Next week when we're in Los Angeles, I mean when I'm in Los Angeles with Jared because Eric's out getting married, you don't check calendars. You know, when you decide to have kids, check calendars. Have the baby like at the end of June, and that's it.
Look, I could be getting married in like the heart
July
of football 4th. Season. So.
Right, like November. I'm going to get married in
yeah.
The week of the Super Bowl. I'm out.
Yeah, hey, great. I know next week. I know next January is kind of busy in Phoenix. We have the Super
However,
Bowl and FBR Open. But yeah, hey, I'm not going to be here for
No. Or the Waste Management Open, whichever event you want to call it.
Yeah, it changes sponsors all the time. I'll just call it the Phoenix Open.
It's fine. This segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. My Santan Ford experience today. I've been talking to you about getting my wife out of her expedition. I think today may be the day. I've been running around. She's been running around. We have looked at a certified pre-owned Explorer, rather. An Explorer that we've looked at Santan Ford. We don't need the expedition for our family. We're down to just one one left out of four. And so the expedition, we've had it for all of our kids, running them to this event and this sport and that sport and on the road and onto the beach and up to the mountains and all that stuff. Are you in that same place in life? Maybe you're just now having your first. Maybe you've got to start looking at getting out of the cool little car and getting into something that is smart for you and your family to get around in. Or maybe you're the guy that is sitting here in the towards the middle of summer saying, hey, before summer comes to an end, I want to head up to Big Lake. I want to head up to the White Mountains of Big Lake and go fishing for the weekend. I need a new truck, the F-150. That's a great way to go too. Stop on into Santan Ford. Ask for General Manager Tim Hovick. They do it right at Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. On the other side, we're going to head back up to Minnesota for a couple of minutes. I want to talk to our good buddy Mark Roden, who's up there. He's at the home run hitting contest. And I'm going to talk to you about Eric Bledsoe. There's a picture circulating of him having dinner with Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra on social media today. Ooh, you know, what's going to happen on that front? And a few other things in my mind as well as we roll on a busy Tuesday. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. Good Tuesday, Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. Good to partner with the Arizona Republic, White Mountain Radio across the great state of Arizona, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. I'm going to talk about the offended Chandler Parsons in a couple of minutes. I'm offended that Houston would not match. I'm offended, all right? I'm sorry to hear you're offended for the dollar figure that you're going to get going to Dallas. You've got to go to the slummy Mavericks and play for a really really bad owner. I'm just kidding that. Probably the best that's out there, in my opinion. We're going to go back. We had Pedro on earlier. Pedro Gomez was terrific from the All-Star game. But I also think on this All-Star game day, I've been watching social media, and with it being the Derek Jeter goodbye party tonight, the Love Fest, I figured let's find someone from the Valley who is back there. And Mark Roden is a good personal friend. He's also Desert Subway's Mark Roden. He joins us for a couple of minutes because you're back there as a fan. You were at the home run hitting contest last night. How is Minnesota treating the fans?
Well, Minnesota has a lot of warm hospitality, Brad, but their weather didn't cooperate. It was the coldest July 14th since somewhere in the 1800s, like 130 years. Rainy and cold and just nasty. And you saw that in the home runs that didn't go out of the park yesterday, too.
Was last night a buzz, or was it a buzz kill because of the rain?
It was a big buzz kill. It was people just trying to stay warm. And the only time they got any emotion, they boo if somebody was taking too many pitches because they were freezing. They're like just swinging something, for God's sake.
And then Bud Selig says today, hey, so we have to speed up the pace of the game, but we have to give a three-hour show to ESPN for the home run hitting contest. So you're not going to win either way.
It wasn't good, and people learned pretty quickly. If you saw him putting the tarp on home plate, start making a beeline for the concourses because you knew the rain was coming again.
So I saw on your Facebook that you had like this Bloody Mary with a hamburger, and so they're trying to do some creative foodie stuff, right?
Yeah, they had some interesting things. It was the burger bacon brat Bloody Mary for $18. And they had a combo Polish sausage brat for $16.50.
Oh.
So, yeah, they had some interesting. And then they had the new self-serve draft beer machines.
Oh, yeah, I heard
about
that.
Got a lot of attention.
How's that going? Because you're in the food business.
I don't serve beer, though. But you buy it by the ounce. You buy either a $10, a $20, or a $40 card. And then it's like 38 cents an ounce for Butter Bud Light and then Shock Top. That kind of stuff is 40 cents an ounce. I think they had all Budweiser own beers. But, yes, you pay the ounce, I guess your card runs out. And I heard that the biggest one you could get, I never heard anybody complain about this before. They were saying, you can't think bigger than a 48-ounce beer. I'm not really sure who needs a 48-ounce beer, but it's available, I guess. Take it back and share it with your buddies or something.
So you get a card, you go swipe it, you get a cup, you push a button, and it just gives you that set amount. It's like going to water and ice or something.
Yeah, kind of like self-serve yogurt. You know, you weigh the thing on the way out by the ounce, and that's how you pay.
Yeah. So the Jeter stuff, is this the Derek Jeter Love Fest, and what is the expectation tonight of how they're going to honor Jeter? What are the fans saying?
You know, I'm hearing that they're going to have a great tribute to him tonight, so I'm looking forward to that. And, you know, people here are pretty much You know, unlike at Chase Field where they booed every single guy that came up to the plate, it felt like if they weren't a Diamondback. Here, they're pretty much all about, you know, celebrating the event. And so I think Jeter will get a very, very warm reception.
Yeah. Well, have fun. Appreciate you calling in for a couple of minutes. Stay warm.
That's not possible, but I'll be back in Phoenix tomorrow, and I'll leave my jacket on while I'm outside in the 100-degree temperature.
See you, pal. There's Mark Roden for a couple of minutes, Subway. It's good to have him for back there. You know, tonight, Eric, are you going to find yourself? I've got to see the Jeter start. I guess I've got to see Jeter start, and then I've got to see Goldie do his thing.
I will find myself casually watching the All-Star game.
Yeah, I mean,
it'll be on, but I won't be glued to it.
You won't be sitting there with like food out and probably finding friends over and all that stuff.
Not really.
Yeah.
No friends.
No, because and when Jeter leaves, like I get it that the buildup's going to be because the rating for this game will be horrendous once Jeter leaves. There's really no other reason, is there?
No, but we will definitely get the iconic moment. We will definitely get the remember when Derek Jeter .. We'll get it, but again, the rest of the game, just I don't know. It's an All-Star game, just like the NBA has their All-Star game, just like the Pro Bowl is absolutely unwatchable. I'm not going to lump Major League Baseball into that category, but again, a three-hour home run derby, and then what you said about Selig says we want to make the game faster. Well, where are we going here?
No, what you're going is you've got advertisers and you've got baseball and it's just driving the fan. But I think a millennial, I think of somebody in their 20s, their 30s is going to be sitting there doing their thing on their phone and just like, okay, yeah, this is fine. I got to move on.
Yeah. Or if you don't watch the game, just follow it on Twitter. You won't miss anything.
You're not going to miss anything.
And then watch SportsCenter that night because they're going to do a half hour on Derek Jeter anyway. So
they'll do more than a half hour.
Probably.
They'll do more than a half
especially
hour.
On a day like today where there's really nothing else, at least right now, going on in the world of sports.
What are you talking about? It's SEC Media Day. I'm into SEC Media Day.
Yeah, SportsCenter tonight will be half Derek Jeter and half SEC Media Week.
I don't care what they do. I'm into Tiger, too. You know, there's a story, Sports Illustrated, Lee Jenkins, who broke the LeBron story, did a follow-up today. And when people say, I've heard enough about LeBron James, the numbers for Sports Illustrated's website this week are ungodly. I mean, unbelievable. Just crushing anything else in its sight because people can't get enough of his, when I say the decision, the whole way that the story went down and now what direction it's going to go. I'm sitting over here with the Suns and last night on social media, picture pops up of Eric Bledsoe. It's kind of fuzzy. Did you see it? Did you see that?
I did, but you could definitely tell that he was with Spoelstra and Riley.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that.
So, Bledsoe's having dinner with Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra. Would the Suns let Eric Bledsoe go and not match an offer sheet? I can't see it. But Dragic is going to be a free agent next year. The Suns are in a really interesting spot.
And really kind of a good spot because I saw on social media, there aren't a lot of teams out there that have enough money to offer Eric Bledsoe a max contract.
No.
So it may actually not cost the Suns as much if they do want to resign Bledsoe as they thought.
But here's the thing on that, Eric. They've already drafted Ennis. They've developed Goodwin. They've just added Isaiah Thomas.
They have tons of guards.
So they have all these guards, right? So they have the options. If it's the Miami Heat that say, we're going to give Bledsoe an offer sheet, and the Suns say to themselves, we've got to figure out Bledsoe, can he stay healthy? Because that, I think, is a huge question mark in my mind. Dragic is going to be a free agent in a year. On the open market, Goran's going to want and probably get a lot. And for people to say, oh, he's such a nice guy and he loves Phoenix and, you know, he's already left once. And you're kidding yourselves. You really are kidding yourselves. And Phoenix is not a destination market for free agents right now. I'm not sitting here ripping the city. It's just a fact. You know, Isaiah Thomas is not going to be one that's going to break the bank and push this team into the Western Conference Finals and into the NBA Finals. So, you know, Bledsoe having dinner with Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra, it's interesting to look at. I can't imagine they just bumped into each other and said, hey, let's sit here and hang out. We know LeBron's real close with Bledsoe. I'm sure there's a point given there. It's a really interesting time. You know, there's a story circulating today that Minnesota may want Kyrie Irving. And LeBron could play point in Cleveland. Well, they already have Ricky Rubio. So there's a whole lot on that whole Cleveland-Minnesota thing. This Bledsoe having dinner with Riley and Spoelstra, what are the Suns going to do? And the Lakers, too, in the middle of all this. So. Brad Sussmat, sports360az.com, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat. Off we go into hour number two, sports360az.com, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat. Thanks for being with us. We're going to have Michael De La Russo here in a couple of moments, AZ United SC head coach. He'll join us while we're getting him ready to go. Tonight, some of the things on my mind in the world of sports brought to you by Gateway Airport. Gateway Airport, where it is just plain easy. You're flown out of Gateway Airport? I've flown out of Gateway several times. Love having Gateway Airport just off the 60 and the 202 in South Mesa, Southeast Mesa. Take Allegiant Airlines. It's simple to fly on out of Gateway Airport. It's affordable as well. That's Gateway Airport. Gateway Airport, where it is just plain easy. Appreciate Gateway Airport and their support of the show as we do our thing coming up on year number three here at sports360az.com. All-Star Game is tonight. So the Arizona angles are very simple. You have Paul Goldschmidt hitting cleanup. You have the big stage for him tonight. Miguel Montero is part of the roster as well for the National League. I've got Wainwright against Felix Hernandez. So Wainwright is 12-4. Why not Clayton Kershaw rather than Wainwright? I get it. It's the manager's call. That's the way it goes. And in King Felix, the first Venezuelan to start an All-Star game, he's 11-2 on the season. So I'm happy with the matchup of seeing Wainwright. I'd rather see Kershaw. I think it's a joke that Kershaw is not the starter. But I also understand there's the political side of it. And if you're the St. Louis Cardinals, you're going to get your guy out on the mound. And Wainwright, he's going to be a Hall of Famer in all likelihood. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. Last night in the home run hitting contest, Yoenis Cespedes put on a show. First back-to-back home run derby winner since Ken Griffey Jr. in 98 and 99. But really tonight, you know, the All-Star game tonight, it's the Derek Jeter show. Tonight will be the Derek Jeter show. Derek Jeter has done it all the right way. My times in dealing with Derek Jeter here in Arizona can only be given to the World Baseball Classic or when the Diamondbacks played the Yankees in the World Series and me going back and forth at the Yankee Stadium and out here and doing the Diamondbacks pre and post game and seeing everything around Derek Jeter. From afar, I don't think in this day and age of social media that we ever give enough credit for guys doing things the right way. It's pretty simple to point out a guy today is upset that he didn't get his contract from the Houston Rockets and said he has to go to the Dallas Mavericks, and I'm sorry you have to make $8 million and feel disrespected. That's in this, today's news cycle. You would never hear that coming out of Derek Jeter. So tonight, whether he runs out onto the field in like the fourth inning and his teammates stand behind and everybody gives him a standing ovation, or somebody like Cal Ripken or Ozzie Smith goes out and replaces him, if they get that creative, you know there's going to be something Derek Jeter related tonight. And so I'm looking forward to this All-Star game. When he steps in to lead off for the in the bottom of the first inning against Wainwright, Derek Jeter will step in and Wainwright will step off and everybody will give Derek Jeter a rousing standing ovation. That's what it's all about. And so it's going to be fun. Tonight will be a good night in sports. Time to talk to the United. AZ United SC head coach Michael De La Russo joins us every week. World Cup wrapped up. United with a big win over the weekend against the OC Blues. They're home this Saturday night. New player added to the roster. And, of course, Coach Dello is a big Derek Jeter guy. You're not going to cry tonight, are you?
I might, Brad. How you doing?
I'm good. Seriously, you're going to get emotional?
He's one of my favorite athletes of all time, like you said, for all the right reasons. So I don't think I'll get that emotional, but he's had a heck of a career.
So you'll find yourself watching tonight, right?
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. Because you have like his hat and his jersey. Are you one of those guys? Baseball cards, posters.
You know, I got a T-shirt.
You got a T-shirt. You got a Jeter T-shirt. And I think if I remember right, that's about it. I think I remember you and I talked. You've never met him.
No, I've not.
You've not met him, but if there was somebody that you could meet, he'd be the guy.
Yeah, he would. Yeah, for sure. Number one on the list.
All right. So on the World Cup end of things, let's start there, and then we'll get over to your win over the weekend and this coming up match this weekend. You look at how Germany handled it against Argentina. I think you said to me a couple weeks ago, I believe the Germans are the team to beat. Did they do anything to surprise you on Sunday?
I don't think so. You know, not ending it in regulation, maybe. But they were the best team in the tournament, so they deserved to win it. You know, some people might say, why didn't one of their players get MVP? Because honestly, you know, any 11 guys that they played with at any time could have gotten MVP of the tournament. I think they were that good. And they showed it, and they deserved it. So it was fun to watch. It was really fun to watch them do what they did. And still, at the end of the day, it's crazy because this game's crazy that Argentina still could have pulled it out. But overall, it was a great World Cup, and Germany was the team to beat all along.
When you watched Messi on Sunday, what'd you see?
A guy that just couldn't carry his team any farther. You know, he had done everything for that team. And if you look up and down their team, they had very good players, but he didn't have the support that most other teams did have. And to carry his team all the way to the finals is phenomenal. And everybody saw it, and most people criticized it, giving him that he didn't have enough left in the tank. I don't think anybody could really have enough left in the tank after what he did to get them there.
Right. No. And there was a lot being said that his legs looked heavy, that he looked tired. But at that stage in the tournament, you know, he had to exert so much just on his own.
Yeah, I don't know how he made it. I mean, he played 120 minutes about 3 or 4 days before that. And then an emotional part of it goes into play too that some people don't get. You know, that drains you. And then to come back and try to play in a World Cup final and carry your team again, play 120 minutes again against Germany is, you know, keeps the ball very well, extremely structured, extremely good. It's hard for him. But he showed why he's, if not the best player, one of the best players in the world during the tournament, and it's great to see.
Michael Dallarusso, head coach, AZ United SC, with Brad Susmat this Saturday night. United home match against the OC Blues at 7:30. We'll get more into that in a minute. Lost in everything over the weekend, I thought, and all the post-analysis even yesterday, was Brazil just falling apart, being booed off their own home pitch. What did you make out of Brazil the last week?
The pressure that they were under for the last few months, the whole pressure that the country was under. Then they went through a little bit of adversity through obviously a key injury to Neymar, and then the suspension of Thiago Silva. And then when things didn't start going their way, I think it all just imploded. It was hard to watch, honestly. It was hard for me to watch. I think as any soccer fan or, you know, someone that had been following it at all, I feel like it was very hard to watch. I wanted them to call the game at halftime against Germany, really, because it looked like a team that just didn't have it mentally. They were so drained and, you know, beat up on that standpoint. They didn't want to let anybody down, and the pressure of the whole country on their back. And I just don't think that group could handle it anymore.
I'm curious on your end. You're coaching young guys. You've been a college assistant coach. You're leading your team here. You were at a college that's one of the best in the country on the collegiate level in soccer. As you watched the World Cup, did you watch it with your players and were able to talk to them and use any of the World Cup as teaching moments for them together, or did you just let them go watch it on their own?
I let them watch it on their own, but we referenced it. What you could see quite a bit, especially at that stage, is the amount of passion and heart that's played. And people leave it all out on the field. Obviously, there's a couple tactical things that any coach can take from, you know, it's the highest level. So it's great to watch from that standpoint. And I find myself watching it as a coach half the time and a fan the other half the time. But obviously, watching the best players in the world and the best teams in the world, you can always learn from it. And I think it's helped our team. I think, you know, the guys watched it. They learned from it. But at the same time, I wanted them to enjoy it, just like everybody else in this country did. I think it was a phenomenal event for our country.
Yeah, nice win over the weekend. I put on Twitter, it was nice to see you guys because you've been grinding. And as we talk every week, it's about scoring. And you added Long Tang. You've added someone new to the mix. Talk about the win and your new addition.
Yeah, it was a great win. I think it was our most collective performance. on both sides of the ball. I think we were extremely disciplined defensively. I thought we did well going forward, still creating the chances that we have been creating all year. Finished two of them, but really anybody that watched could have seen we could have 5 or 6 goals pretty easily. And I think we're just waiting for it all to click. I think Long's done extremely well for us. He came in. He's fit in with the guys on and off the field. He likes our system. He's a good player. He's a smart player. So I think, you know, we're looking for big things out of him. And, you know, a lot of guys stepped up, and I think this team wants to make a little run at it. So it's encouraging.
Last week, I asked you about your roster, and you said, stay tuned, is how you left it. So you make the addition. Is there more stay tuned, or is this it for right now?
You never know. There's always pieces that are moving, right?
Yeah.
But we'll see. I'm very happy with this group. Very excited, just like I have been from day one. I think it's a tremendous group. They work well together. They're great guys to work with and to coach. And I'm just looking forward to them getting some success because they earn it, and they deserve it for sure.
Good visiting with you. Best of luck this weekend. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad. Have a good day.
You too. It's Michael Delarusso, head coach AZ United SC, every week here on Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat.